Hello, my marketing and entrepreneur friends. Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Let's Talk Marketing podcast, where I, your host, Katya Allison, get to explore the latest trends, techniques, and strategies in the world of marketing. Now, in today's episode, I'm excited to welcome Autumn Dene to the show. Now, Autumn is the founder of Slay on Socials and the host of the Edge of Everything podcast. Love me a podcast host. She's a social media and content creator expert dedicated to helping mission-driven creators and business owners build standout personal brands and turn their passions into profits. Now, in this episode, we get into the art of social media and personal branding. Autumn shares her journey from fitness influencer to leading her own marketing agency, offering insights on creating impactful content and staying ahead of emerging trends. We'll cover her SPICE framework. That's right, you heard it right. S-P-I-C-E, SPICE framework. The importance of empathy in your social media strategy, and also chat about practical tips for building a sustainable brand. We even talk about digital detoxing and balancing online presence with well-being. We'll provide valuable takeaways for long-term success. So grab your favorite beverage, sit back, and let's dive into it. Let's talk marketing. Autumn, welcome to the Let's Talk Marketing podcast. So excited to have you on here because we're going to dive into social media. So thank you for coming on.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Of course. Now let's have the audience fall in love with you by discovering what your path was to marketing. Let's start with what was your first marketing role? Now it could have marketing in the title, it could not. Traditional, non-traditional. What would you say was your first marketing role?
Well, I feel like I have a little bit of a different history with marketing than probably most of the people that you interview on the podcast. I actually used to be an influencer. So that's kind of how I got my start in this space. Okay. I was a fitness influencer and I sold some digital products and started my coaching business when I was in that era. So that was like kind of my introduction to marketing. I didn't know that I was going to end up here being like a social media personal brand consultant and actually having marketing be a foundation of what I do with clients. But yeah, I started off as an influencer. And so that's how I really got into this and like learning that, you know, building an online business was even possible for me.
That's so wild. And you have so much like real world insight on how to really make social work for you. So I know that we'll dive into that. You mentioned that's where you started. Where are you at now? Like, what are you doing now?
Yeah. So now I actually started a social media agency and like marketing agency for helping creators and business owners with growing their brands and businesses online. So I call myself a social media and personal brand consultant, but I also love marketing. Like marketing is pretty much at the basis of everything I do with my clients. And I like to combine marketing and manifesting. I'm a really big energetics person, but I also love the strategy. So when we talk a little bit more about like what I do and like some of my frameworks, I do combine those elements. So don't be surprised if I say stuff about like manifestation or energetics.
Well, I am here for the manifestation because I think that once your brain is locked in on something, and that to me is like the key to manifesting, right? You're not allowing the other kind of like things that come at you to get in your way, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like determining. I've always felt like a good day or a bad day is all about attitude. I can either choose to see that I've run into all of the red lights, or I can choose to see that I've got the green lights when I've got the green lights. And like, it gives me time to do something else in the car. It is about manifestation. It is totally about perception as well too. So I am here for that. Now, knowing where you started and where you're at now, what do you love about what you currently do? Now, I also want to know conversely, what, if anything, could I pluck out of it that you don't love about what you do? So let's start with the positive. What do you love about what you currently do?
I feel like my favorite part about what I do now is being able to help other people and seeing their growth, because it was fun like being in the content creator role and, you know, growing my own brand on social media. But I love helping other people. Like, that's my favorite part, is when one of my clients are like doing really well and they're getting really good results and they're they're actually enjoying the process of being on social media and creating content and like marketing their businesses again. Because I know so many coaches, especially if they're not in a business niche or they're not like, they're not well versed in marketing and all of those strategies, like seeing them actually get it and it start to click and then they actually start to see the results that they want. Like that feels really good for me to be able to help other people with that. And like, this is the best feeling, feeling like I'm like helping them help more people. It feels like a ripple effect that I get to be a part of, helping, you know, make a bigger impact on the world.
There is nothing like seeing someone get really excited about the results. And then that feeling that you get as well from that, like it worked. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. We always assume that it's going to work. Now, what if anything could I pluck out so that it would be the perfect job?
The editing piece. I feel like I don't do editing for my clients. I'm actually about to hire a social media manager to do that kind of stuff. But for myself, when I'm like creating content and I have to edit everything, like that's the most tedious part for me. If I could like cut that out, my life would be so much easier, especially like my podcast, because I also have a podcast and it's my least favorite part.
The editing is a grind. What do you use for editing? Are you CapCut, OneShot? Do you do iMovie? What tool do you use or do you think is best for editing?
I personally use iMovie for my podcast, but for social media content, I use CapCut. I think CapCut's the most seamless, simple editing tool. I've used a couple of other ones. I don't know. I think CapCut's, it's just easier. And then also there are certain integrations that you can use if you're, you know, creating content on TikTok. They make it really easy to have templates that you can just like copy and paste and then upload them straight back into TikTok. And then I think Instagram also does something similar where you can, you know, use their templates for like memes or trends or whatever. So I really like CapCut the best.
This was really just a test to make sure that I was using the right tool that experts would also recommend. Now, because you're in social media, I imagine that you have to really be able to stay up to date with the trends. So how do you stay up to date with the trends? Is it just constant scrolling for you? Is it newsletters, books, podcasts? Like, how are you staying up to date on the trends so that you've got like the latest, greatest at your fingertips for your clients?
Yeah, so I do a little bit of everything. I'm a consumer and a creator. Like I love like actually scrolling and like being in the platforms and like following the trends and seeing when new ones pop up. So a lot of it is just kind of like scrolling and discovering them as I'm like actively using the apps. But I do follow some other creators and, you know, business owners in the space who might, you know, find them before I do. So I'll like keep a lookout for that. I also look at the platform accounts, like Instagram's account or Instagram's creator account. They often will tell you what's trending and like what's popping up. If there's any new like algorithm updates or changes to the platform, like that's the best place to find out about it there. And then sometimes I do listen to podcasts about content and social media, but I don't really get trends and like the updates from those podcasts. It's mainly scrolling and doing research, market research and all of those things, and just kind of like being a creator and a consumer and just staying on top of it.
I feel like you have kind of, especially in social media, in this, oh my gosh, I'm all tongue-tied. In a marketing organization, when you are focused on social media, you have to be on all the platforms to know what's going on and to be able to pick up on the trends. I don't know if you've gotten like that savvy enough where you can almost see when a trend is going to like start to pop off, whether it's, I mean, like the whole Apple one, I almost feel like we could do that right now. the little Apple
the dance,
strip report, you know what I'm talking about? Exactly. I'm like, oh my God. How could you have predicted something like that? Do you find that you start to get like a whiff of like, I bet you anything this is going to pop off in a couple weeks?
Oh yeah, all the time, especially because TikTok is like one of my favorite places to be more of the consumer than creator. And all of the trends that we see over on Instagram start on TikTok. I feel like it's very rare that I've seen a trend start on Instagram and then gravitate towards TikTok or YouTube Shorts or whatever. So I find them so early. Like, there is one that's going on right now. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's like this girl on TikTok. She says the word demure, and
now, oh my god, I legitimately now we're timestamping this, but I legitimately was going to say that one because that one is all over my feed, and I cannot find the original. Look at her being demure. What is the other word?
Oh, very my god, mindful.
Very mindful. She's, you know, very demure. I so badly want to do it, but I have no idea how to pick up on it. That's why I usually have a social media translator at the ready to be like, what does this mean? Oh, that's so funny
you say that, social media translator, because some of my friends call me that, and it's true.
It's so funny that you said that. and it's funny too, because I mean, I'm older because my kids are in their 20s, right? I'm older, but I also am not so out of tune, but still there is this like, I'm missing something. Our feeds are totally different. So I was actually afraid that you were going to tell me something that is not in my feed. So I'm feeling kind of cool and hip right now. I'm just telling you that right now, that we kind of have the same feed. Basically, we're the same. Well, now let's get into just kind of social media visibility and content. You already said this, few sentences ago about the algorithms and how you will look at like the actual platform's accounts to learn about just kind of algorithm changes. I'm really wondering how you approach the whole algorithm play when it comes to social media.
Yeah. So the algorithm tends to be like this like omnipresent thing that everyone tries to like beat. Like, you have to beat the algorithm in order to have your content seen and stuff. But I try to look at it as working with the algorithm, because like, yeah, it's hard to understand, but I think that if you follow the patterns, and that's just all the algorithm is, it's a pattern of, you know, behavior that is picking up on, you know, your audience's behavior, your behavior, and then it's feeding people your content through those things. And so I feel like if you can just kind of, well, what I do is I'll study what's working for other people. And also, you know, what Instagram or TikTok or whatever platform it is telling you that it wants. Like, if they just roll out a new feature and you're not using it, you're not working with the algorithm. So I think it's about just adapting to what the platforms are saying that they're looking for. Like, I think right now, Instagram, they're testing out a new feature because TikTok tested it out first. So if you've seen on the Reels page, if you're scrolling, they'll have like carousels now, which were traditionally, you know, swipe posts with pictures. You can see those on the Reels page because TikTok, they're in direct competition. So whatever is being rolled out that's new, you want to just kind of focus on incorporating those into your strategy. I wouldn't make it like your whole strategy to do quote unquote what's working, but doing those things when it's new definitely will help your engagement, help your visibility, because you're listening to what the platform is telling you. And then I just kind of, you know, look at TikTok first, because I think that anything that happens over there we'll start to see on other platforms, because they're kind of like the industry leader right now for short form content, and every other platform is trying to compete with what TikTok is doing. So I think just kind of paying attention to those things, studying the algorithm, studying bigger creators, and just being flexible and adaptable. I think sometimes people get caught up in what was working instead of what's working right now, and they keep trying to do the same thing that got them like success before, and they're not willing to pivot or evolve their strategy. So I think just like keeping up with those updates and being flexible and implementing as you see things starting to roll out.
Yeah, I think that in general, if you want to make an impact on your social media channels, you do have to be strategic, which I love the fact that you're saying that you're researching and then also adopting whatever changes they are having in that platform. It seems so obvious, right? Like, do what they want, what they are rolling out to feed into that. But I am also just kind of curious, because you said researching or taking a look at other creators. What exactly are you looking for? Are you looking for how they're structuring their content? Is it is it dance moves? Is it overall concept? Is it views? Is it likes? Is it shares? Like, what are you looking at?
Yeah, so I try to look at a few different elements. The first thing that I look at is their hooks and like what is actually being said to make someone want to stop scrolling, and like not just what they're saying, but how they're saying it, which is such a big part of marketing. It's like that communication aspect.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes the biggest difference for what quote unquote performs well and what doesn't.
Yeah.
Cause you know, it's how you're saying something. And then I also try to look at, you know, do they have a trending sound attached to their post? Are they using hashtags? Like what keywords are they using? How long or short was their piece of content? Is it a face to camera content or is it B-roll with just like a few seconds and a sound? Are they doing a trend? Like I try to piece together like what made this piece of content successful based on the elements that, you know, I would try and use to make a piece of content perform well.
I love that. Now, I think that for every creator and every brand, it's going to be different as far as like what's working for them on social and what's not working for them. Right. When you're looking for just kind of like the inspiration, what are some tips for a brand who wants to kind of compete in this space, but doesn't really know how to get into it, doesn't know necessarily what trends or who to be watching? So I'm not being very articulate in this question. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Okay. So let's say that I am a toothpaste brand and I want to get on TikTok, but I don't even know where to like find my audience. And what are other toothpaste brands doing that could be clever? Like, because I want to understand my competition. So where do I even get started on knowing what kind of content I should create as a brand? And maybe we can just look at TikTok, because I think that all platforms are very different. But like, if I want to start a TikTok from this made up toothpaste brand.
Yeah, I think because TikTok is so, they have so many different features that you can use, especially if you're like a new creator. And this is going to be different if you're a personal brand versus if you have like a bigger company or corporation that's kind of separate from the owner of that company. But I think starting with like doing some research and looking at the comments, the comment section on TikTok is so funny, and you'll learn much about people and their behavior and their mindset and what they need and what questions they have and everything that you want to know. You can find out in the comments of someone's post, especially if it's like a viral post or something that's doing really well. And if you look at other brands that are similar to you and just go to their pages and kind of scroll through their content and seeing what's working for them and then what their audience is asking in the comments section, I think that's really cool. And then TikTok has this thing called Creator Search Insights. And so it's kind of like, what's the search engine? I always forget it, what it's called. Answer the Public, or there's like another website that you can
use. For the questions?
Yeah.
To get like an aggregated list of all of the questions on a particular topic?
Yeah. So it's kind of like that TikTok does. And you can like go into the Creator Search Insights and see what people are actually searching for and like what keywords they're using.
Interesting.
And that's a really helpful tool that, you know, obviously Instagram doesn't have that yet. I'm sure they'll try and find a way to.
They're listening.
Yeah. But I think that's a really cool way to kind of understand what people want and then how you can align what they want with what you're good at providing.
I love that. I love that tip. Now, I kind of want to pivot our conversation because you have a framework that I wanted to make sure that we dove into. It's called SPICE framework. I love it because I say the word spicy all the time, and I know that's not what it is, but that's what I think of in my heart, my soul. So tell me about the SPICE framework. What is it? When do I use it? Tell me.
Yeah, so it's actually, I created it because I also like the word spicy. And
it's just fun.
Yeah, it is. And I think that spicy content is what people want and it's what people need. And so one day I was just like doing some work for some of my clients and I just came up with the acronym. And it's really just supposed to help you with creating magnetic content and marketing that attracts your dream clients and community. And the acronym is S is for specific, P is for polarizing, I is innovative, C is consistent, and E is empathetic. And I think when you combine those five elements, or if not combine them all at once, but like throughout your strategy, and you really speak to those different points in your content and your marketing, you're going to attract the dream clients and community that you want. And I can go through all of them individually if you want me to.
I most definitely do want you to go through them individually because I've got questions.
Okay.
So S. Cool.
Yeah. So S, being specific, I think people are too general online because okay. I think some people think that they need to be general in order to reach more people. But it's kind of the reverse. Like the more specific you are, the more people that you're going to reach. And especially if you can speak to like the specific experiences, thought processes, emotions, habits, behaviors, whatever, that your dream client or follower, community member, whatever you want to call them, if you can speak to them specifically and really get into their like subconscious mind and what's going on beneath the surface, you're going to be able to attract the right people for your brand and for your business. And so I really try to focus on, like I said, just speaking to their specific underlying experiences and emotions and habits. And another big part of being specific is using clear, concise language. Because one thing that is I really believe to be true is that if you're not clear, then it's confusing. And I think sometimes people try to use like fluffy or like pretty like writing or communication because, you know, you want it to sound good. But if it's – it doesn't matter if it sounds good if someone else is confused about what you're actually trying to say or even what you do as a service provider or a business owner. Like if you're not clearly articulating the value that you provide to someone – like you're not going to be able to convert someone from, you know, follower to client. So I think that's really important, just being specific. And then the last part of that being specific is just having one main takeaway or one main point per post. I see so many people trying to cram their entire program or service into every single post versus like focusing on one thing, like one main takeaway. And then the next post, you can focus on another thing and then another thing. And then it's just kind of this library, or I call it like a garden of content, where your content is supporting each other, but you're not overloading every single post with too much stuff. So there's so much more that I could dive into with each of these, but those are like the main things.
No, that's perfect. I'm also very interested in P, which you said is polarizing. I had like a knee jerk because polarizing to me is polarizing, right? Like that feels like such a gamble on social media, especially nowadays. So I'm going to need you to define that one a little bit more for me and give me like an example of what that means like in action.
Yeah. And I know like whenever I say polarizing, people automatically assume it's like not that it's a bad thing, but kind of like you said, that like knee jerk reaction, because I think like cancel culture has made people a little bit hesitant to be polarizing on social media and to actually say how they feel and to not sugarcoat things. So I think that like being polarizing isn't necessarily about offending people. Like, I don't know if I can curse on this podcast, but I think
yes, please do.
Like you can be polarizing without being an asshole. I think that's that's where like people get confused. So it's not being divisive just for the sake of like causing drama, but it's really about speaking to people who believe what you believe, and then, you know, building your community based on like your shared values and making people feel seen and understood and like they're a part of something bigger, and then just like positioning yourself as a thought leader and not just a follower. Because I think a lot of people are afraid to say what they really feel. And we get a lot, most people, they get kind of like caught up in following the trends and following the conversations and not starting them and really being like an advocate for what they believe in. And so I think, you know, being polarizing, it's just like sharing your hot takes and your opinions and beliefs and, you know, can call out specific industry practices. If you're in a certain niche and there's like, you know, there's a culture and there's certain things that are done in every single niche. If you have a different opinion or way of doing things, talk about it. Being a little bit controversial and like not being afraid to attract some people and repel others, because I think, you know, not everyone's going to like you and you're not meant to serve every single person. Like some people should dislike you. Some people should disagree with you, and those are not your people. And in order to attract the right ones, you have to, you know, be an advocate for what you really believe in and what you really think. So I think that's important to be a little bit polarizing in your content so that you can attract the right people to your community.
I love that. Now I.
Yeah. So I is innovative. And I always say, don't follow the trends, start them. And that really just comes down to like, you know, being the person who can introduce fresh ideas and perspectives and start the conversations. And then I also think it's important to like use creative and unique content creation techniques that other people aren't doing. because I think we're all kind of like in this bubble, especially if you've been in it for a while and like everyone's doing the same thing. So that's why when someone's doing something differently, whether it's the type of content that they're doing or their editing style or a new trend, like that's why it pops off, because it's different than what everyone else is doing. So if you can be a little bit more innovative and like share some new perspectives, you know, start a trend that someone hasn't done before, then you're going to be the one who's actually like leading the conversation, leading the trends versus just following them. And then also another piece of that is talking about how you as a service provider are different and what you're doing differently than everyone else in your industry or in your niche. Like, what unique frameworks and methodologies do you have? What are the benefits of your program that are different than what someone over here is offering at the same price point or less or whatever?
I love that. We did SPIC. Tell me about C.
So C is consistent, and it's not just consistency in how often you post, but also in how often you show up, not just how often. So repeating the same core messages over and over again, some people are afraid to repeat themselves, but people need to hear the same thing over and over and over again in order to actually get it. And especially if you're talking about, you know, making a sale, like people need to hear something or see something so many times before they're actually ready to take that step to invest in something. And then also just like your brand voice and building that like brand recognition. If you're not consistent, you're always changing up, whether it's your content pillars or your values or your visuals or whatever, and you're not sticking to a consistent routine for your audience, for your community, people are going to be confused. They're not really going to get to know you and like associate you with a specific outcome or message or, you know, whatever you want people to know you for. If you can be consistent in showing up for that, I think that's really important. And creating associations for your audience and, you know, how you show up, whether it's your hair, your clothes, if you have like catchphrases or slogans, if you have a name for your community, if you, you know, like to wear certain brands, like someone that I know, she's always got a Starbucks cup in her hand. And I'm like, I don't know why that sticks out for me, but it just does.
It's her thing. It's her thing.
Yeah. So if you can like create that, I think that's what really builds a strong like brand presence. And then also for, you know, your marketing, that's what really helps people to identify you when they're scrolling on their For You page or their Reels tab.
I love this one before we dive to the last one, which is E. And the reason that I love the consistency and the way that you've articulated it is that it's not frequency, it's consistency. And those two are very different things. And you're right, like the consistency of the frequency that you're posting, but that meat of it, the content that you're creating, like make sure it's original and authentic and you're not trying to be something that you're not is also, in my opinion, part of that consistency. Like it becomes a lot harder when you're trying to be somebody else on social media versus yourself, whether you're a creator or you're a brand, you have to be consistent with the message that you're talking about. I do find it amusing that you're like, if you change your values, really people should not be changing their values like midway. I mean, like you can add to them, but if you're like, I don't believe in all the good stuff anymore. I didn't want to name any commandments or anything for fear that I would get canceled because I'm following the P, which is the polarizing. No, so that's, I love consistency. Now, bring it home. What's E?
So E is empathetic, and I think that's speaking to the person on the other side of the screen, and like building a connection on a deeper level is so important. And I think that because people, you know that quote, like people won't always remember what you say to them, but they'll always remember how you made them feel. I think that goes hand in hand with like good marketing and building a good brand, because no one's going to remember every single post that you make. Like people forget what you say in your content as soon as they scroll to the next piece of content. But if you can say something that really like hits them in the feels and like connects with them on an emotional level, you got them. Like if you can connect on that deeper level, that's how you actually get them hooked and have them continue to come back to you for whether it's just your content or for your programs and offers, whatever you're trying to get people to stay with you for on these social platforms, that emotional connection creates that feeling of wanting to be connected to you. So I just think that really speaking to like the emotional and psychological struggles of your dream client, but then also their desires is such a good way of connecting with them. And also just like being vulnerable. Like people buy who you are, not what you do. So I think that if you can share your experiences, your challenges, your success, whatever it is that you've gone through in relation to what you want to help them overcome or achieve, that will also help create that connection with them.
I thought I was obsessed with consistency. I'm obsessed with the empathy part because that is also the hook from a storytelling perspective, right? And I think sometimes, and I don't know if you ever find this, whenever you're explaining empathy or even like trying to connect with someone emotionally, there is almost this connotation that I don't know if it's like tears or like we're sitting on a sofa, like, or laying on a sofa, like divulging all of our personal, you know, whatevers, but like empathy is really just hitting on like exactly that feeling, that emotion. And it's not always positive. And you can still use that, I feel like, from a marketing perspective too. And even more so when you take your SPICE framework and connect that, when you're empathetic with a frustration and you deliver it in a polarizing way, like it's an interesting mix match. So like when you started talking about the SPICE framework, you're like, you don't have to use them all at once, which that would be a lot to check off. But it's a great way to combine kind of a couple of them at a time where it does work for you. Right. I love this framework. Now, Thank you. Because you are on the cusp of just kind of trends in general, I'm wondering what kind of emerging trends do you see happening in social media right now, or like that you would expect to see in like the next year or two?
Yeah, so I think people are actually moving back towards longer form content. I think we're kind of a little burnt out with the 3-second, 5-second rapid. I call it micro content because at that form, it's not even – I mean, at that point, it's not even like short form content. If you're doing like 3-second videos, it's micro content. Yeah. So I think people want more substance and they want more like value and like connection from what they're consuming. And I've seen that over on TikTok, and I think it's going to – like that's the next wave that's coming through on Instagram as well, with like face to camera content, not as much B-roll, you know, a minute to 5-minute videos versus just like I said before, like the 10 or 3-second videos. So I think people are really going to have to develop their confidence on camera and actually developing their speaking skills and, you know, an on-camera presence and how to actually captivate people, not just with 3 seconds, but for like 3 to 5 minutes. And I think that's really challenging for some people, but it is where I see, you know, things shifting to, because I'm tired of the 3-second, 10-second content. Like I love to like watch someone's video for a longer period of time. So I think that if you can start focusing on how you can develop that skill of showing up on camera more confidently and, you know, speaking for a longer period of time and actually keeping people's attention, then you'll be in a good place. And social commerce is a big thing. I know Instagram used to have like the shop feature. They took it away. But TikTok shop has been popping off. Like it's kind of insane. It's like surpassed like $1 billion now over on TikTok shop with how many people are, you know, selling goods and the profitability of it. So I feel like that's going to be a big thing. It kind of gives like QVC energy sometimes. I think that's like the TV where you have to like hop on.
I almost feel like it's guilt-free shopping because the deals are just so good. Maybe that's just me. But like I'm an avid TikTok shopper. The amount of things I have in my cart and I'm like, okay, if I still want it tomorrow, maybe I will purchase it. Like you have to like put these rules in place. But I love that you said it gives like the QVC vibe.
Yeah, it does. And like, I think some people don't like it, but I actually really like it because you can say no. Like, if you have good boundaries with your wallet, like you can see something and not feel like you have to buy everything. But I think it's such a powerful tool. Like I know so many people who make such good money from just like reposting or like sharing the products that they're using. Like you don't even have to sell a product on there. Like you can just make commissions from it and people do really well with that. So I think social commerce is a big thing. And then live streaming. We've seen it with like Twitch and like even in TikTok Live, they have like incentives for people who literally sit on live all day and talk to their community or like do stuff on there. I'm not a big live streamer, but I know that is the direction that, you know, social media and consumption is going in. So I'm going to be looking into that more. I honestly don't really like the live stuff that much, but if you like it, I would hop on it because it's a really, you know, popular thing right now. And I think it's only going to continue to get more popular in the near future.
I love these predictions or these emerging trends that you're seeing as well. I feel the same way about lives. And it's interesting that you say that because a few podcast episodes ago, I interviewed someone who totally called me out on like, why aren't you podcasting this live? Why is this interview not live? I'm like, I don't know. I want to be able to edit. Do I ever really heavily edit? No. It's usually like for technical difficulties that have happened, but there's something about like the live, but you're right. Like the people that do like to do it and then also like to view it, that's definitely a specific group. So it'll be interesting to see how, if and how it grows. Cause I think like you have to, or maybe it's just me. Cause I guess on Twitch, you could just be watching someone be watching something, which is
wild. I was talking about this with someone else the other day, and I think it's so weird. Like, I don't want to watch someone play a video game. Like, why wouldn't you just want to play the video game? You know what I mean? But I get that, like, some people like it, and especially like the younger generation, like, they're obsessed with like watching other kids play with toys. And I'm like, why don't you just get the toy? But like, that's what they like. So
Exactly. It's definitely, I think it's a demographic, right? Like that mm-hmm. speaks to, it's not, we don't fall into that community category, which I think is interesting. And so that's also what I really like about your emerging trends is that it's not like a one size fits all emerging trends. No. It's a like, it fits to what you like. Mm-hmm. Kind of emerging trends, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so funny. I could talk about social media with you all day. I do have one final question. And that question is, if you knew then what you know now, what is your marketing or non-marketing advice that you give to yourself?
It's kind of marketing related, but also like just in general, like life, business. Sustainability over speed, because the first time that I grew my following and I grew my business, I grew it very fast and it was not sustainable. So this time around when I'm approaching, like, not like going back to the success that I had the first time around, but like the way that I want to build my business for the long term, I really want to focus on the sustainability over speed. Like, I know I'm going to get to where I want to be, but I don't want to get there so quickly that I don't have the like strategic infrastructure in my business to support that kind of success, and then also the emotional like regulation, nervous system regulation skills to actually hold it and like grow it. So if I could tell my younger self one thing, it's just like, slow down. Slowly is the fastest way to get to where you want to be. You're gonna get there. Focus on like play the long game, not just like the quickest path to getting there.
Sustainability. I needed to hear that as well too, right? Like, I think it's a lesson that you constantly have to learn time over time. Mm-hmm. It's easy to get really excited about something, but you burn out really quickly. I do also love that you mentioned like the emotional side of it for yourself or just in general, because, and I don't know if you feel this way, but I would think that you, especially because you're in the social media space, that you kind of have to give yourself that mental break so that you're not impacted too much by all of the things that are happening. I don't know if you ever go into like this, I need a social media break just for a hot second.
Yeah, I feel that all the time. And like this weekend, I just completely like logged off for a little bit. I think it's good to do that and have that balance, because it's not good to be chronically online. Like, not only are you like missing out on so many things that are right here in the present moment, but I think it's not natural for us to consume so much information from all over the world all the time. Like, this is such a new era for humans in general to be in. I study psychology in school, and it's literally changing our brains and the way that we think and process. And I think it can be very overwhelming. And so if you can give yourself like even one day a week, like a digital detox is so good for you.
I love this. We could probably have a whole other podcast on a digital detox, but
yeah.
I can't thank you enough for coming on here, sharing your wisdom, your framework, and dropping these knowledge bombs. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
I hope you had just as much fun listening to it as we had recording it. Here are my key takeaways from this episode with Autumn. Number one, influencer turned marketer, why it makes sense. Now, the reason that I ask the question of where my guests start in their marketing journey is because it's not usually a straight line. Certainly wasn't for me, and for most people, it's not. Now, Autumn shared her journey from being a fitness influencer to a marketing consultant. And this episode shows that experiences in any field can provide valuable lessons that contribute to future successes, really emphasizing kind of how foundational skills and knowledge can be transferred across different roles. Now, from my perspective, the lessons learned as an influencer are a prime example of how initial experiences can shape and enhance your career. Whether you're transitioning from influencing to marketing or from any other field to a new role, the key is to really leverage the skills and insights that you've gained along the way. Now, this isn't just relevant for marketers, but it also applies to anyone looking to advance in their careers. By taking the valuable lessons from each experience and applying them to new challenges, you are setting yourself up for continued success and growth in any profession. Key takeaway number two. Now, we talked a lot about this in the episode, so you had to know it was going to be a key takeaway. It is the SPICE framework. Now, this approach focuses on the five elements being specific, polarizing, innovative, consistent, and empathetic. Now, these elements can help tailor your content strategy to attract and engage your ideal audience. By being specific, you address your audience exact needs. Oh, a little tongue-tied there. By being polarizing, content makes your voice distinct, while innovation ensures your ideas are fresh. Consistency builds trust over time, and empathy helps form deeper connections. It doesn't mean that you have to use all of these elements at once. My God, that would be exhausting. But weaving them into your content strategy can greatly enhance its impact. Applying these principles thoughtfully can lead to more effective content and a stronger audience engagement, whether you're launching a new campaign or refining an existing one. Focusing on specific elements like innovation, for example, which is not just keeping up with the trends, it's about setting them. Brands that lead with fresh ideas often become trendsetters themselves. Now, key takeaway number three. What I focused on was polarizing. So polarizing content, don't let it scare you. That's my key takeaway. Polarizing isn't about offending people, but about sharing your authentic beliefs and values. This approach helps build a community around shared values and positions you as a thought leader. It's about attracting those who resonate with your perspective and not being afraid to repel those who don't. This strategy really helps you stand out and engage more meaningfully with your audience. The key is to stay true to your core beliefs while expressing them clearly. It's not about seeking controversy, but rather it's about being bold and distinct. This can really attract a dedicated following who shares your values, leading to more meaningful interactions and ultimately really strong brand loyalty. By embracing this approach, you're not just another voice in the crowd, but a leader in your field. Now, what did you take away from today's episode? I want to hear it. Post it on the Let's Talk Marketing LinkedIn page or YouTube channel. Leave it in a review on Apple. Slide into my DMs. Let's keep this conversation going. A special thank you to my podcast editor, Johnny Ike. And thanks to you for spending your time with me today. Until next time, may the conversation flow, the laughter linger, and the outlook remain optimistic, but grounded in reality. This is Katya, signing off.